Hallelujah.
We've been talking about the subject of love, more specifically divine love or the God kind of love. We know from 1 Corinthians that it says, and now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. We've contrasted divine love or God's love, God kind of love, to human love, and there's quite a contrast. Human love quits. Human love has limitations. Human love has conditions. Human love sometimes doesn't understand things rightly. We're talking about the love of God, the perfect love of God. Now, certainly one can cooperate with the love of God and experience it, or one can frustrate the love of God and not experience it. And there's not only those two extremes, there's every level in between. If I'm looking for success in this life, if I'm looking for success as a minister, a pastor, a father, a husband, if the greatest thing in this world is love, I should excel in love and find success there. Have you ever thought on your reward to come? Maybe a little bit here and there. There's times when I'm taking care of Sandy, I'm taking care of Pastor Sandy, that I think about the reward. And I've had the Lord say to me, because you're taking care of my daughter, I'm going to take care of you. Amen. So that's what love is. And how do you keep doing? And if at the end of your life and you're standing before the Lord awaiting your reward, oh, that He would mention that you were the love of God extended to others, that you walked in love. There could be no higher reward. The most important thing is, what do you say to yourself when you ask, have I loved? Have I loved with the love of God? That would be the most important thing. It's not, well, I love them until they pushed all my buttons, and this is just unreasonable, and nobody, you know, all of that kind of stuff. No, have you loved beyond that? Love has a element, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. There's an element, parents raising children, you love your children, you will discipline them, and you will guide them, and you'll put the brakes on them on some things, right? Love is not all ooey-gooey. It is wonderful in the mouth, but it also has a, I love you, so I'm going to stop you because you're about to walk off the edge of a cliff here, that kind of thing. So love's important, supremely important. Romans tells us faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And then Galatians tells us faith works by love. Things in this life happen, and there's no good explanation for it. How do you walk in the love of God so you're okay, so you can continue? The love of God. You have to know how to experience and access the love of God. Said another way, that grace of God, that ability of God. Faith, without faith, we don't please God. Faith comes by the word, but faith works by love. So just hearing the word and having faith come is not enough. We must also walk by love. I was looking at a crab apple tree, flowering crab in my yard right in front of my house. And any tree we've had there, you know, I don't want it to block my view. So I prune them down, or in one case, we took the tree out and replaced it with another one that's supposed to be dwarf and small and all that. Well, I pruned that tree heavily last fall and the year before. I realized something looking at that tree. The top gets pruned. So it is a smaller tree, but under the ground, it has the root system of a large tree. That root system quickly recovers the top of the tree. Quickly feeds. It has a supply. It has a deep root. It can put on growth. And I got to think of that's what life is. Life, or the Lord talks about, Jesus talked about the father being the husbandman, and he prunes that there may be more fruit. We in this life will get pruned and cut back. And we're looking at our tree and thinking, oh, I'm so small. I've been cut so much. But if you have grown in the Lord, you have the root system that quickly brings growth, that quickly can support a lot. Amen. So if the Lord or this life, either way you care to say it, prunes you, your top's been cut, but your root system has gone deeper. In fact, this tree's becoming a bit of a problem. You know, it wants to put shoots up out of the ground and everything. I got to keep cutting this thing back because it's saying, look, I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow. You can't stop me. You cut me here, I'll just pop up over there. So you be like that. Amen. Love prunes. So, Romans 5:5, we're going to go there. It says, now hope does not disappoint. Boy, there's an important subject too. I'll pass it up for now. Hope does not disappoint it. If disappointment is heavy on you, you'd understand hope and need to learn more about hope. But reading on, it says, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That, I believe, indicates to us when this happens. When the Spirit is poured on us, love has been poured out on us. And so we've been saying this, you're born again, the love of God's poured into you. And when it's poured in its fullness. And whether or how we walk in love has to do with our accessing what's in us. It's there. And so no believer can say, well, I just don't love like you love, or I just don't have the love like you have. Person saying that, you don't know where to tap it. You don't know where it is. You don't know that it's an unlimited supply. So we can never say, I just don't have love. That's too hard. I can't do that. Well, quit tapping the barrel that says human love and tap the unlimited barrel that is divine love. I, like anybody else, and in my human love, in my capacity to love that way, I have got my limits. But if I can tap in the love of God, 1 Corinthians 14:1, please. You have an unlimited supply of God's love in you. Whether or not you access it and use it and employ it, that's a different story. But you have it. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love. Now that tells us that there's action on our part. There's pursuit, that it's not an automatic thing. You have to reach for it. You have to go for it. You have to believe it's there and move in that direction. Amen. The love of God is in you. Are you moving in its direction? Are you reaching out for it? Are you pursuing? Let's say somebody just totally offends you or repeatedly does you wrong, even does you harm, does you a lot of harm. Well, you've reached the end of you. Now you have to reach out for the love of God. You've got to grasp hold. You've got to pursue that love or it won't work for you. You'll reach your limits. You'll have your problems. It'll be difficult and so on. It has to be pursued. Just finish saying it's in you, and then we say you have to pursue it. A word I used before was tap into it. And so when you reach that point where you've had it, maybe you're angry, maybe you want retribution, you want to harm somebody, you go, no, disconnect from me, connect over here to the love of God. And if you can do that, you start seeing things a little different. Instead of retribution on that person, you're a little more like, they don't know that they're driving 100 miles an hour to a bridge out. And I don't want them to go over the edge. Lord, can you help them? In many cases, he can't until there's a turnaround. But do you want someone harmed or helped? Moses did this, and he was called the meekest of all men. When you see, is impending the right word? You see judgment coming on an action. You see trouble coming to somebody's life. Do you attempt to get in the way and intercede with the Lord? The Lord told Moses, get out of the way. I'll kill them all, and I'll start over with you. And Moses says, no, Lord, then your enemies will think that you're not able to bring your people in. And he interceded. He saved all of those people. Now, they still ended up not going in the promised land, but he saved all the people by accessing the love of God. So when you see somebody just headlong going toward trouble, making a wrong choice, making a wrong decision, just really They're wrong. Are you happy to see trouble come, or are you, for their sake, you're trying to head that off, trying to, Lord, send a laborer across their path, somebody that can say words, somebody that will make sense to them. You know, they won't listen to me. They won't listen to all of these. Is there somebody, Lord, you know, that they can turn around and they can come home? That's a good test of, are you walking in love or not? Where do you go when you know they're heading in the wrong direction? Things start not working for them. So we are to pursue love. Love is in you, but it must be pursued. Love produces the harvest of all the promised blessings. There's a promise of abundant life, and you want to grab hold of that. You want to receive that. You want to experience that abundant life. So that is done by faith, as we know, faith in the promises of God. But as we're seeing, faith in the promise is not enough. Faith comes by the promise, but works by love. So I've just made an extension. Love produces the harvest. Understanding faith works by love, the harvest comes. So we're saying love produces the harvest. So all that you would desire in the promises of God to come to pass in your life, believe, receive, confess with your mouth, walk in love. It's love, ultimately, that brings in that harvest then. So healing, every kind of victory, every kind of financial blessing, every sense of well-being and victory in this life, all of it. All of the promises and all the blessings of God require faith and love. So those that struggle or don't walk in love don't receive that harvest. And yet, many times, I tried that faith stuff. It doesn't work. Well, faith wasn't your problem. Your faith didn't work because of some issue in walking in love. And I will confess, through the years, I've really taught the faith part, not so much the love part. I thought that was kind of an understood until I realized it's not. Jesus said to us, if you have faith as a mustard seed or a grain of mustard, in other words, just a little, that it will produce the great tree, the great harvest. Well, it will. Doesn't take a lot of faith. It takes love with faith, working in tandem. I did this for many years. I most probably do. When something doesn't seem to be producing the harvest, you double up on your faith. You double up on the promise. You speak it more and more and more. And that may have never been the problem. So love is what produces the harvest of all the promised blessings. The lack of walking in love produces worry, doubt, strife, sickness, losses, fear. Today, I want to focus a little bit on fear. Love dispels fear. Thought about saying love destroys fear. All of us know somebody that really the status of where they live in fear and worry. It's given away pretty readily. I'm just afraid that, and then they predict some future outcome. I'm concerned that, I'm not afraid. I just want to be careful so this or, you know, just listen a little bit. You'll pick up on it. There are people who live there. You know, there are people that live at that place of worry or fear all the time. Now, fear is a motivator, and you should have some fear. You mentioned aviation. You better have some fear. It's a good motivator. You ought to be careful. And so one of the things that we got to do, I got a little tour of the training facility there, and we went to a couple of the banks of the full motion flight simulators. And that thing is going like this, and it's going like that, and all this motion and so on. He told me, you know, if you do a hard landing, that thing, boom, he said, and it'll jerk you, really throw you around. So you watch that, and you don't see what you might call violent or really a lot of movement, but he was saying that inside that simulator, it's enough that you really feel it. And it's with the visual, it's very convincing. fear can be a good motivator. In other words, in that simulator, what he was telling me is you experience the fear and you experience all of that, the sweating, the nervousness, because, you know, they're not just flying a nice little mission. They're dealing with the engines on fire, the tail fell off. They throw him every kind of unusual circumstance and try to see if, okay, can you fly it in an emergency? It produces that in you, but some people just live there. It's healthy, it motivates, but you don't live there, and you overcome. And that's one of the, that's what they're being trained to do, is overcome that fear. And fear should be there, but you have to overcome it and start, okay, now how do I fly this airplane out of this mess? Right? We need to do the same thing. If it comes, okay, it can help you, but you better start, get yourself together and figure out how to fly out of this mess and start accessing the love of God for you. The greatest fear visiting me was the moment she went down. They didn't expect her to make the next few minutes and all that kind of thing. And when you are in that moment, fear presents itself. And I remember thinking, this can't be happening. This can't be happening. And I heard in my own spirit, whether it's my voice or the Spirit of God, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I heard, oh, it is happening, and you better get it in gear. And I began to access the love of God, the Spirit of God, the counsel of God immediately. You better know how to do that when fear comes. Amen. To walk in love is to walk in God's world, walk in God's realm. It's a kingdom. And in God's realm, things work according to God's law. If we will step into God's realm, we have a set of laws that we can discover through the Word, and this is how it works. If we step out into the other realm, into the world, into the devil's realm, whatever you want to call it, there's another set of laws, and that's how things work. And we're going to find out fear is not of God's realm. Fear is of the enemy's realm. To walk in love means to live always mindful of love in all our thoughts and actions. You know, we use that word, that term, walking in love, and maybe we sort of know what it means, but if you just somebody off the street, you say to them, oh, well, you need to be concerned about your love walk. Got to watch your love walk. They're not going to know, what do you mean by that? In a word, it's lifestyle, the way you conduct yourself. In some translations, the word conversation is used. That means how you speak and talk and carry yourself and all of that kind of thing. So when we're talking about love walk, we're talking about how you live. Always mindful of love in all our thoughts and actions. When something happens, is love in your mind? Or is it just every negative thing and what could happen? And so the moment something might happen, what about love? What does love say about this? It means to always be acting in love towards others, but also always aware of how we are loved by God. We often think, you know, how's your love walk? You're thinking about how you're treating others. But involved in that is also how you're treating yourself. Or said another way, how are you on experiencing and your awareness of and your access of how God loves you? If we are not acting in awareness to the fullness of how God loves us, we will come far short of what He has for us. We simply accept compromise and less than the full blessing if we're not aware of the fullness of how God loves us. We will come short of what He has for us. We say, well, I know God loves me, and I should be happy for what I have, and this is good. Where that may be all true and noble, but the love of God wants to take us not just to a partial victory, but a full victory. I can't believe in the heart of God, in the will of God, that He intends to deliver Pastor Sandy, not just from death, but from every shortcoming and trouble in her body by this injury. That is a realization or awareness or keeping before me the fullness of the love of God. He loves her and wants to see her fully restored. He loves me and wants to see me fully restored. He doesn't want to give me a partial victory. He wants to give me a full victory. Amen. There's one occasion, and I don't even remember which king and which prophet, but in the Old Testament, the prophet comes to the king who's facing a battle, a superior force and so on, says, take arrow or arrows in your hand and strike the ground. He takes the arrows and does a good jab in the ground. And then the prophet says, what's wrong with you? If you would have struck the ground many times, God would have given you many victories or full victory. But since you only struck it once, you're going to have a partial victory. And I paraphrase that. But you recall the story? Anybody recall reading that story? Yeah. There are times when we need to know, no, God wants to give us the full victory. And if I don't strike the ground repeatedly and with great enthusiasm, I'll have only a partial victory and a partial deliverance. It is this constant, awareness of that's an overused word today, I'm out spreading awareness on whatever. People are protesting and doing those things. So today I'm spreading awareness about the love of God. No, I'm preaching it. So I don't like that word, but I'm not sure that it's not okay. If you're not always in your mind the love of God, the fullness of that, you'll accept compromise. You'll accept partial victories. And some people, I should just really be happy. Yeah, you should be happy for what you have, but that's not the whole story. And in some cases, you reach levels or steps of victory. Well, rejoice over those. We should rejoice and be excited about every level of achievement, every step forward. But that don't mean you stop. That means you rise up and go again. Go some more. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. We're talking about divine love. We're talking about God's kind of love. Is there an element of fear in that? This says no. There's no fear in love. Now, there are scriptures that say things like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we, I think, pretty much understand that means respect and reverence. And then you might even say that there might be children that, let's say, fear their mother or fear their father. If they really handle the children right, it's more of a respect and a reverence. There are times when that needs to be taught and reinforced. And the Bible does say, spare the rod, spoil the child. There's a time and a place for some of those things. And what are we doing? We're getting a change of heart. And when properly applied in the right measure and so on, it will foster a respect. If you want to call it fear, the Bible does say fear the Lord. It's reverence and respect, and have trepidation about stepping over certain boundaries. Yeah, that's fine. But fear itself, agent of fear, the thing, Bible actually calls it a spirit. We'll get to that. But that is not from God. It's not of God. He doesn't have it to give. We're talking about which realm, which kingdom, which world do we live in? We live in the love world. Even when terrible things happen, even if God prunes us, there's not fear in that. The opposite of fear is trust. And when there's great trust, you can be, the book of Job, he had some things he did not understand properly. Revelation was yet to come. But Job said, though he slay me, talking about God, yet will I trust him. And maybe you could even say this, Jesus was crucified. Jesus says, no man takes my life, I lay it down. Jesus knew it was the will of God that he would die, yet Jesus trusted God, and that's why he laid down his life. So even in things happening that are extremely unpleasant, could be seen as very detrimental, If there is an understanding of the love of God, there's not fear, but there's trust. And there are individuals through history, we call them martyrs. 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about them who refused deliverance, that they would obtain a better resurrection. They faced death and laid down their lives without fear because they trusted God and trusted in His reward. So this says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. That is awesome. That is what I want you to think on all week. Love casts out fear. When fear enters our hearts, when fear becomes the motivating driving force, when fear takes up residence, even if it's in a corner in the room, love is the answer. Love is what will drive that out. And so there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. The word perfect there, understand as being completed or matured. Mature love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, when it says completed or matured, it can't be talking about God, because love in God is never was in a process of completing. It never was in a process of maturing. It has to be talking about us. We are the ones who are being completed in love. We are the ones who are growing in love. We are the ones becoming matured in love. We are the ones who become perfect in love. So this then says that mature love casts out fear. That means completed and matured love in us, or say it another way, love has matured me, my understanding and my walk in love. When I reach the completed, the matured understanding of love, I cast out fear. Or that love in me casts out fear. It's not hanging out at the beach waiting for God to do His perfect love and just take all fear away from you. It is the believer grows in their understanding, their revelation of love, to the point where they just have some situation happen and they immediately go to the love of God and they trust God, even though it could result in a death. I trust God. I'm reminded as I stand here of my dad here in our audience. You know, years ago he had a heart bypass surgery. Wheeling him from surgery prep to the operating room, and he said to the nurse something along the lines of, you know, he's not concerned, not fearful, not worried, and so on. He says, I'm either going to be fine, which is good, or I'm going to wake up in heaven, which is good. One of those two is going to happen. Amen. So, and what did she say? Something like, that's the best attitude I've ever heard, or something like that.
Never heard it stated that way.
Never heard it stated that way. Well, when you mature in love, you can be at that place. You're going to come out all right, or you're going to wake up, or, you know, just go to heaven, be with the Lord. Yeah. Now, those who've passed come back. Those that tell these stories about these things, they talk about no fear. They talk about starting to experience things like music or colors, definitely comfort and so on, no pain. And those that tell about it then return to their body and then pain and so on. But the Bible declares, oh death, where is your sting? Grave, where's your victory? So those who've experienced death, gone before us, it's been one of the greatest experiences of their life. I don't know, we don't tend to think of it that way. And there's lots of research, you could find some of this, where researchers watch the death of an unbeliever compared to the death of a believer, and seeing a great peace come upon the face and body of the one, and great anguish and fighting and suffering of the other. When that love is matured in you, come what may, fear is cast out. If fear comes, walk in love. I'm not talking about how you treat other people, though we should do that too. I'm talking about yourself. understanding the love of God for you. And it goes on and it says, because fear involves torment. You've seen this. It's tried its best on you. And we all know people who live in torment, just a state all the time of torment. It says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love or matured in love. So we as believers, if we have fear taking up too much space in our lives, we're not perfect in love. We're not matured in love. We're not understanding God's love for us. What a wonderful place to get to where you're more or less immune to fear. I remember many occasions while Pastor Sandy was in the first hospital she was, in the neurological ICU, where various doctors would come and try to give the report, there's this, this, and try to tell you their expectations. And I would say, okay, yeah, I understand. And you could tell that they were looking at you like, what's wrong with you? And eventually some of them would say that, you know, you don't understand, you don't get it. They didn't think I understood. I thought, something wrong with this guy. Amen. And I didn't want to fight with them, so what I would say is, yes, I understand, but I believe something different. Amen. That would be as big as my protest would get, because I knew it's not going to get through to them. And why have confrontation right here? What they saw was I didn't respond like most. And they figured you understood if you feared and fell apart. I already knew the answer to that question. No, there's nothing they can do to save her. So I didn't put my hope or trust in them. And in some cases, I think they wanted you to view them that way, almost like a worship. Well, if you say so, Doc, I guess that's what it is. No, I didn't take them at their word. Anyway, they're accustomed to seeing fear grab hold and just take people. And fear will finish off the person that's in jeopardy. So if fear is there, grow up in understanding the love God has for us. Fear comes upon the one who is not matured or developed or practiced in the love of God. The one matured and developed in the love of God is steady. Have you seen some people are steady in trouble and some are bouncing around the room? We have that old phrase, running around like a chicken with their head cut off. That, you don't want that. They're steady. The one matured and developed in the love of God is steady and secure, knowing that the delivering power of God is already at work. God's love is at work before the need shows itself. In one respect, God was at work for Pastor Sandy before these things happened. For one, we were in a season of really confessing a particular scripture. It was important to us, and we were saying it and reinforcing that. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. God was preparing us. A few days in, Pastor Nancy called me. She says, I found in crises in life that the Lord gives you the answer before it happens. And you got to go back and look a little bit. Think on that. Lord, when did you say? The love of God is already at work before something happens. And knowing that, we don't have an occasion, an event, and then start seeking the love of God. Start asking God, this surprised me. Did it surprise you too? Right? No, he's not surprised. He was already moving. He was already preparing. Things are already working. And just knowing that, you know you have what you need for this moment. That love has already taken you up in its arms and already is holding you, ready to carry you through whatever it is. Amen. The one matured and developed in the love of God is steady and secure, knowing that the delivering power of God is already at work. Talking about God preparing things in advance. We have a a niece who's a doctor, but coming up in our local hospital system, said if what happened to her would have happened here locally, she was very confident that Pastor Sandy would not have survived. It happened in Fort Worth, Texas. They have a special hospital with a special ICU, which is just brain injury. Many beds, just brain injury. They said that we are one of the best in the world. We are the best in this corner of the United States. And they fly in from other states with people to be treated at that hospital. And the helicopter is just continuously coming in all the time. So it happened in a place, medically, naturally speaking, better prepared to help her. Was that the hand of God? I think so. And it is the natural and the supernatural working together. Well, God could have just spared her here. Yes, he could have. Yet on the other hand, by seeing God prepare in advance, even with this thing coming, he knew, I didn't know, we didn't know. He wouldn't allow it here. He allowed it there. I'm this day in awe of God's preparation and foreknowledge of these things. God is glorified in it. Amen. I'm not saying he did this to her. I'm not saying that at all. Yet I can glorify God in how things unfolded. Love prepares and is working in advance. And when I grow and mature in that, I know love is working for me now before something happens. Amen. But it takes a maturity in your understanding of the love of God for you. You can then start living whatever's coming, God's preparing for it. Whatever may happen didn't surprise God. It surprised me. Didn't surprise God. And okay, he's already seen me through to the end. And if he's already seen me through to the end, ain't no sense in me getting fearful or worried about this right now. Let me just figure out what I need to do naturally and in faith and in the Word, how to draw out the result he's already ordained. The one made perfect in love is the one who has a confident quietness and a peaceable spirit about them. The one who's mature in love has a quiet confidence and a peaceable spirit. They're not so shaken. Now, I'm sure when this all unfolded with her, I'm sure my body trembled here and there. I felt that. I felt fear. I've heard Brother Hagin and I've heard Dr. Dufresne both describe it as something that starts crawling up your leg. I felt that. I know about that. You probably have too. Fear starts from outside you and tries to come inside you. And you can feel it advancing upon you. And I felt that coming up my leg, so to speak, coming into the core of my body, coming in, and I knew if I let it get to my mouth and I say something in fear, I'm going to be in trouble. And I learned from those who taught me, open your mouth and say, oh, no, you don't, fear. No, you don't. Get behind me, fear. I will not fear. So there's a confident quietness and a peaceable spirit. Pastor Webb told me 3 or so years after that happened with Sandy, he was with me through that first night. He was there in the hospital. And he said he had thoughts that night that, now, Pastor Dan, brother, you better get your mouth on this. You better get with it. You better get your faith in gear. You better get going. He told me 3 years after the fact, he says, now I realize that you probably were doing exactly the right thing. You'd already spoken the word, and you were already in faith about it. But he didn't see the kind of grab hold of everybody in the room, we got to pray. You've been in situations like that. People say, and you start thinking of who you got to call and ask them to pray. And I let some family members know some things. But beyond that, a lot of our church people never found out until the Sunday of the service. Well, why did you do that, Pastor Dan? Because people getting all stirred up in fear wasn't going to help. Those who needed to know knew, and don't allow people to worry and fear come up and so on. That's how we were doing it in Texas. That's what we wanted to do here in church. Walking in a matured understanding of God's love causes one to take authority over the devil and authority over fear. When it's a bombardment, it's a rush that comes upon you when you have the revelation or realization of something perhaps catastrophic in your life or someone dear to you, you know, here it comes. But when you know the love of God, you take authority over that. Amen. All fear is of the enemy and not of God. The reaction to bad news is in the one who has been made perfect in the love of God is not fear, but steadiness and trust. And family members will think there's something wrong with you because you're not responding the way they would respond. So when bad news comes, if you're matured in love or growing and maturing in love, there's a steadiness that's available to you. There's trust available to you that you can walk in. And that is the far better way to go. That scripture told us that fear involves torment. It's torture. And when you're alone at night, lay down to sleep and sleep won't come, that torment just would keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And you have to put it down every time. How do you do that? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. We are never to live under that torment. His love lifts us up out of fear. 2 Timothy 1, 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. When that spirit of fear comes, just know it is not from God. It is not from God. It goes on to say what He has given us. But, and it, since it was said spirit of fear, I think we could add spirit to each of these as well. But it's given us a spirit of power. You have power. You have the spirit of power on the inside of you. Amen. You have access to power. You have access to the spirit of power. Not given us a spirit of fear, but of the spirit of power and a spirit of love. Love is the antidote to that fear, power and love, and of a sound mind. Now, a lot of people, they're going through whatever things, and there's this thought, oh, I'm just losing my mind. I'm not in my right mind. Actually watching some people, how they react to situations, they are not in their right mind. They become irrational with fear. They become impulsive and just jump at things. And we might say reaching for straws, as the expression goes, and trying anything. And people do this too, even go into church meetings and special meetings. I've been to every healing evangelist. Well, why did you do that? They were reaching for straws. They were looking for something. Maybe it'll work tonight. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to special meetings. Nothing wrong with going up for prayer, those individuals. But there are a lot of people doing it because they're just trying to find somewhere an answer. And there's no steadiness. There's no leading of God that they're following. They're reaching for straws. They're driven by worry. They're driven by fear. And there's just no answer in that. We need to be a little more like the woman with the issue of blood. For she said, if I may but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made well. I'm sure she came to a level of revelation by the Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing. She was hearing reports of what He was doing. And she said and determined, I take that as a deliberate leading of God. Go and do this thing. Touch the hem of His garment, and you'll be made well. Now, if we have the Spirit of God say, go to, let's say, Pastor Nancy's healing meeting. Go there, and you'll be healed. Well, then go there. That's not reaching for straws. That's not trying and see what sticks. And the idea of lots of prayer, we just need to be praying. Everybody praying, lots of prayer. That's the idea. Keep throwing it up and see what sticks. Maybe one of these prayers will work. One prayer in faith does more than 10 million prayers. Jesus cautioned us about that. Don't be like the Gentiles. Paraphrasing, he said, who think by their many repetitions that they'll be heard. It's not in repetitions, it's in faith and trust. And if you'll mature in the love of God, you can exercise faith and trust. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. You're not crazy. People will think there's something wrong with your mind. Doctors thought something was wrong with my mind. Matured in God's love, we have a power and a sound, rational, calm, and quiet mind. When any kind of need comes and presses on us, if we are love-saturated, think of a sponge. When a sponge becomes saturated, say with water, if we are love-saturated, fear, doubt, and worry can't come out of us because love casts out fear. If we're saturated in love, there's no room for fear. It just doesn't enter. And then any kind of a thing that pokes us, any kind of a pressure, anything that presses on us, if we're love-saturated, love and trust come out. If we're fear-saturated, fear comes out. If we're worry-saturated, worry comes out. It's not in, you know, what's poked you. It's in what you're saturated before you got poked. Amen. Somebody presses your buttons, what comes out? When a need presents itself, matured love remembers what God has provided and is comforted and confident that provision is forthcoming. And by the way, you know, you never stop walking this walk. Needs keep coming. And again, you have to say, God has delivered me from the lion, delivered me from the bear. Well, what's this giant? It's just another one going on the list. God has been faithful to provide in this situation, in that situation. I think early this week with Pastor Lori, I said, God has always provided for us and he's never failed and he's not going to fail now. Amen. We go through seasons. Paul wrote, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. And I would like it if you could graduate to abundant supply and you never see anything but abundant supply. Wouldn't you like that? But it's a walk of faith, so there's seasons. Pastor Webb had to tell me a little more about that. I was talking to him. Hey, it's just a season. Love is already provided. So again, it is love that comforts, and the one is confident that provision is forthcoming. It's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah, it's coming. Everything I need, it's coming. The completion of Pastor Sandy's miracles of healing, they're coming. They're coming. I see little steps, you know. I saw that left leg moving good. Amen. That's just like the prophet that sent the servant. Go and look, see if there's any clouds. Six times, no clouds. Seven times, I see a tiny little cloud, like size of a man's hand. What's the prophet say? Go tell the king he better get moving because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So you rejoice over little things when you know what's coming. And you rejoice when you don't see any cloud. Just go look again. And then go look again. And then go look again. And then one day you see a little bit. Woo, it's time to run. Amen. It's time to run. Rain is coming. Amen. So knowing the provision is forthcoming. Love has already provided for my every need. And anything that threatens my peace did not come from love. And love answers every threat. Every threat to you is answered in love. Remember, matured love casts out fear. Or dispels fear. Or destroys fear. While I was growing up, I would hear my dad say some things that to this day I hear. We had our times of a bit of struggle and family growing financially and all that kind of thing. And I just remember him saying in a couple of occasions that were pivotal, in his own way of speaking, he would say, Mama, everything's going to be all right. When six of us children and Mom were not so sure. He had that calming effect. Mama, everything's going to be all right. You remember that, Lord? Yeah, yeah, it stuck with me. And now I need to say that. Church, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. There's a lot of threat. Our country, our culture, there's a lot of wickedness and evil and corruption. Church, everything's going to be all right. Have you read the back of the book? We win.
Yes.
Amen. So love answers every threat. How do you do that? We need to do that. Here's three steps quickly for you. When a need arises, answer that need from the Word. Well, I don't know a scripture or something in the Word that would answer that. Well, you better find. We just gave you one. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You can put away fear that way. God is not, you know, here it comes. And you just talk to that fear. Fear, get away from me. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And He loves me, and He's going to take care of me. He's already provided for me. And I am clear-headed and thinking right because I'm following the Word and I'm following love. And I have power. I have authority over you, fear, and no fear. I will not permit you. That's answering it.
That is. Yes.
So number one, you answer the need from the Word. Number two, well, I guess I demonstrated that too, take authority over the spirit of fear. Recognize it as not a human emotion per se, but it is a spirit. It is an entity. It's a person, if you will, and you're the boss.
Amen.
Take authority over it. A lot of even Christians don't know they can do that. They think if they feel it, if it's present, it's them and it's theirs. No, take authority over the spirit of fear and over the enemy. And number three, worship God and fellowship with God. Worship God and fellowship with God. And maybe we're successful in the first two, but we don't get quite to the third one there. But I will tell you, for instance, music is a great factor in this, you know. What kind of music are we keeping around and so on? That one particular song that's been some of us playing it again today, twice for Pastor Sandy this morning. She's asked me, let me have some music. That'll be the first thing that we play. And she says, oh yeah, I love that song. And she'll start singing it. We're fellowshipping and worshiping God. And that is ensuring our victory and our provision. Love has already given you and I the victory.
Amen.
Already granted it. Already gave it. We already have it. We already possess it and own it. Why not move into it?
Yeah.
Well, I'll praise God when I have it. You don't realize you have it.
Yeah.
Amen. You'll start praising God. Yeah, praise God when you have it. I'll praise God when I have it. You have it now.
Amen.
And if you have it now, you praise God now. And then one more scripture for today, Jude, the book of Jude in verse 20. It says here, but you, beloved, so this is to believers, it's to us, building yourselves up. Let's just stop there for a second. If you need building up, other people can help, but the primary responsibility for you is you. And we all know people who you can tell they do it well, and we know other people who don't do this at all. If there's not somebody else carrying their water for them, building them up, they just don't do well. Now, all of us from time to time need encouragement. All of us need building up, me included. And I treasure and I cherish if someone has a few kind words and builds me up. Someone shows some interests, expresses some words that help, right? All of us. But here we are told, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. I like to also read that, building yourself up on your faith, or building your faith. When it says most holy faith, A lot of people take it as, well, that's my religion. I build up my religion. No, we build faith on the inside too. But building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We understand this to mean, at least including praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. And so whenever, you know, the discussion of, well, what is this Spirit-filled stuff and what good is it, you know, when somebody's saying, kickstart my Honda, kickstart my Honda, kickstart, you know, Sima Botai, that kind of stuff, you know. I know some of the jokes. But what good does that do? Nobody understands what you're... I'm building myself up. I'm building myself up. It is one of the great things that praying or speaking in other tongues does for you. And you can be anywhere, anytime, in public, in the store, whatever, and just kind of under your breath and so on, praying in the Spirit. What does it do? It's how you build yourself. And look what it says next in the 21st verse. This is awesome. Keep yourself in the love of God. There is never a situation where God is not extending love or loving. The question is, are we in it or not? Or what level are we in it? Who is responsible for the experience of love in your life? We are. The individual determines how much love of God they experience. Now, God loves us all. As the Bible says, He's no respecter. He doesn't have favorites. All of His love is extended to all, but some will keep themselves in it and some won't. And even among those who are keeping themselves in the love of God, that can be at various levels. And if we go back to faith comes by hearing, hearing the promises of the Word, but works by love, you can see the more or the greater level you'll keep yourself in of the love of God, the greater the level of blessing and harvest will be in your life. Well, brother so-and-so is just really blessed. No, it's more likely they are walking in the love of God toward them in a greater level, in a greater revelation. That's the difference. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We are to keep ourselves in the love of God. Developing and keeping yourself, remember, mature love casts out all fear. Developing and keeping yourself in the love of God is what shuts the door to fear. Keeping yourself in the love of God. How do you do that? Well, we gave you three steps before, but basically it is when something happens, your thoughts immediately go to, oh, but God loves me, has provided for me, has delivered me already, has already given me the victory. He saw this coming. I didn't. I know, Mama, everything's going to be all right. Love has already gained the victory for me. Keeping myself in the love of God will deliver me to that victory. There are countless believers among us and through the ages that love delivered their victory to them, but they didn't get to it. So whatever is going on in this room, whatever is going on in the life of anybody watching the stream today, or perhaps see it later, whatever's going on, I don't care what it is, the love of God has already delivered you to victory. Amen. It's already accomplished. It's already in the love of God. Getting yourself to that victory, to that deliverance, well, we play a part in that. And one developed in the love of God, one developed in understanding the love of God, the victory already delivered, that's the one that's quiet, peaceable, and moving toward that victory. That's the one delivered from fear. It would be inappropriate to pray, God, take this fear from me. And then you check and you feel it. Oh, God, take this fear from me. But we keep asking God to do things that He doesn't do. keep yourself in the love of God, maturing in the love of God, and fear can't be there. Drive it out yourself. I will say, a good church, a good pastor, good friends will help you in this endeavor. And if someone is not helping you drive fear away, if someone's not helping you keep in the love of God, well, you just don't need to be around them. Amen? And there may be seasons in your life where certain family members and such, you just can't be around them. You just can't go there. Got to separate yourself. But bottom line, it's not the pastor's job exclusively to keep you built up and maturing in the love of God. It's not mama or daddy. It's not even the church people. They're a great help. Bottom line, we keep ourselves in the love of God. We grow and mature in the love of God. And when we do, love destroys fear. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Father, we just bless you and thank you for this encouraging word, this bread of life today. We thank you as we go forth from this place. By your Spirit, you remind us of these things and we live these things. Today, we are growing up even further in your love for us. We thank you for this today, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So tell them about the good word you're hearing and invite folks to church. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this blessed day as we go forth full of your love upon us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll see you next Sunday. Resurrection Sunday next week, isn't it? Yes, amen.